Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice. she's cracking me up because
Why?
You're all like, I'm Kaylee. You're like looking at the screen, kind of making a weird face. Very animated.
I feel
animated.
Animated today.
You know why? Because we ate those peanut M&Ms.
I know, and I kind of want more, but now I'm afraid the bag's going to rustle.
And it's closed.
And it's closed. You guys, she has two massive bags of M&Ms on her desk, and I asked for a couple, and she was like closing the bag around my hand as I reached in. You're a whack job, you know that?
Oh, that's why you love me. Well, it's a whack job that takes another whack job to appreciate them. Isn't that true, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that true?
Whack jobs.
Whack jobs.
What does that even mean? That's weird.
It's a weird name, and I find it maybe offensive.
Kind of disgusting.
Yeah, like, maybe. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Anyway.
We'll move on. So, well,
yes.
Today's topic is kind of a hot topic right now, I think.
I think so.
Looking at social media and what people have been posting about this.
What to watch, what to listen to.
What to watch. This Brené Brown Netflix special is getting a lot of action.
Yes.
On social media.
What's it called?
It's called A Call to Courage.
A Call to Courage. What is it? World War I? Everyone, a call to courage. Stand up. We must fight for our country.
We must fight for ourselves.
We must fight for ourselves. That's where she got it from, I'm sure, though.
A call to courage.
Is that right, Brené?
So you guys, we actually...
Brené?
We're going to have Brené Brown...
Brené?
...on as a guest. Initially, she said yes, and then her schedule filled up with a Netflix special, so...
Yeah, that was very rude, I thought.
I thought so, too.
We were very excited.
But we watched it anyways.
And we got a lot of good ideas.
We got a lot of great ideas.
All right.
She's a smart cookie, that one.
It sparked a bunch of stuff.
It did. It sparked a bunch of stuff. So we're going to kind of dive into what it sparked and some just, maybe some recaps from A Call to Courage. And for those of you who haven't seen it, you probably still want to see it because we're not going to do it justice by any means.
No, she's a great storyteller.
She's such a good storyteller. But even if you haven't watched it, I think this podcast will be interesting because there's so many topics that we've already previously discussed.
Yes.
But also a new take and a new way to look at some of the things that we've talked about or that are reoccurring themes within our subjects and also within ULA and the workshops that we do.
And our lives, too. Just always like, I'm always, you know, these topics are constantly recurring.
They are.
Even when I think like, we just did a workshop on this. I'm on top of it.
I got this.
And then suddenly a month later, I'm like, uh-oh.
Wait a minute. I'm not my thoughts? What? I forgot.
Sure, I am. Every thought I have.
Even this morning, blaming Mike for how you feel.
I totally missed that, too.
I
totally missed that.
Because how'd you say it? You're like...
I said, and I don't want to be jealous.
Oh, yeah. And I don't want to be jealous.
Of other people. I'm like, so you have to fix this. And he was just like, okay. And it was something to do with work.
Yeah.
His work.
And yeah.
He was just like... Well, that's going to be a tough one to fix your own jealousy issue. And then luckily I'm telling Kaylee and she immediately says, oh, so you want him to fix it? And I'm like, oh, I guess so.
He's responsible for your feelings?
Yes. Take them away. I want only good feelings, Mike. Please fix.
Oh, life. It's complicated.
It's
so complicated.
Oh, my God. Tom, give me another peanut M&M.
I know. Give me like 10 of them. So, okay, so I want to back up just a little bit because at our locations, we do every morning we start with an intentional circle before we go into the ULA class. And it was kind of cool because this year I feel like the circles took like an hour.
Oh my God, they were
like,
so...
And maybe 30 minutes for this circle. And then, you know, it was like an hour later, we're like, okay, who's ready to dance?
Yeah, it was so good.
It was really good.
Really good.
But it was interesting because...
She just ate some salmon. Pardon us while she clears her throat. It is live, so do enjoy. Where is Brene? Brene?
Brene, are you here? Brene?
Help me with our vulnerability here.
So one of the questions that we asked, and this has been like, I don't know, it's been so interesting to me reflecting on this question and my answer and my thoughts around it. But one of the questions was, like, if you won the lottery, and we're talking a lot of money, you never, ever, ever have to think about money ever again.
There's a lot of money, folks. So just think.
Yeah, like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Billions. I'm hoping billions.
Because 100 million isn't enough for you?
Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think it is, actually.
So, yeah.
Okay, so $1 billion. So what would you do with it? You know, and some people had answers like I would travel more, or and then other people had like, okay, well, I would open up this foundation or this center, blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking about my answer, and my answer kind of like was a bit of a wake-up call for me. And it was also kind of like, I don't know, it was really interesting. So I was thinking about my answer, and so I said, well, like maybe in the past I would have said, yeah, traveling. I love traveling. But now that I have three small kids, traveling with three small kids is really not that fun. Unfortunately, it's not that fun. I mean, it's fun, but it's not that. It's not like, I won $1 million. Let's go to Italy with three children. No, thank you.
No.
I don't want to.
No.
So I wouldn't travel. And I wouldn't travel without my kids because I don't like being away from my kids more than I am already, which is enough. And so I'm like, okay, well, I wouldn't really want to travel. And then, you know, the people who had just such a altruistic answer. Is that the right word?
Yeah, altruistic. Yeah,
for like opening up a foundation or center. I'm like, that should take so much time and energy. Even if you have all the money in the world will not buy you more time. It will not buy you more energy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I cannot take anything else on right now. I don't want that. And so I was like, you know, I like cooking meals for my family. I don't want anyone to take over like the cooking. I was just thinking, and I finally ended up with a really good therapist is what I would spend my money on. Because what I realized is like, I don't really need that much in my life or want that much in my life to change that, let's say, the luxury of a ton of money could help with. What I need is a change in the way that I'm experiencing my life. Mm. Because when I throw all of the money, all this like, make-believe money at my life, I don't actually want that much to change. I want to just enjoy my life more. Mm-hmm. And so why am I not enjoying it? Why am I letting something like, and I'm sorry you guys have to hear me say this over and over, but why am I letting something like, you know, a really messy entryway table affect the way that I walk into this? So if I'm going to walk into this gorgeous family that I love with all of my life, if I'm going to walk into my house that I love, so if I get this beautiful experience of walking through my front door to see my family and I let the shit that's on my front entryway table affect the way, damn it, we even said to turn it off before the podcast. So anyways, if I'm going to let the way that the entryway table is going to then like affect how I feel when I go into this really great life that I have, like, I don't want to live like that. That there's something in the way that I'm in my mind that needs to change, mm-hmm. not anything that money could buy. And so anyways, long story kind of long. I think that this is still kind of long.
What about the entryway table?
Okay. No. I know. But anyways, and then one of the things that I was thinking is like with Ula, we talk about the contrast and the balance between the light and the dark a lot. And so I was thinking, you know, I feel like I always keep the darkness right there. I always keep the darkness right there rather than just fully going into the light because I don't know. It's like, there's this like protection mechanism. It's
preparedness.
Like, I'll be ready.
Yeah.
When, like, how could my life actually be this good? I how could I actually like just relax and enjoy all of the wonderful things that my life has to offer? I always have to keep the darkness. I always have to keep the like, what if, and the scary stuff, or just, you know, like, I don't know. It's just right there. It's just, I keep it so close. And so, one of the women who was on the trip, she sent me a flask. I got it in the mail this past weekend, and it said, "Fuck the darkness, embrace the light." And I loved it, because I started asking myself, well, why do I keep it so close? Why is it always right there? And Brene, now I'm getting back to Brene. Do you see that? Okay. There, yeah, we go.
Circling the wagon.
So, Brene Brown, she talked about this. So can I shut up and you can talk a little bit now, please?
She talks about the fear of joy. Mm-hmm. And how we talk about this in our workshops too, that we've talked about this on the podcast too, that how we are hardwired to kind of see the negative, because it helped us in survival, as we've talked about. But the problem now is we keep the darkness, we keep the negativity, we keep kind of the fears close so that we're always prepared. But it's not helping us in terms of embracing the joy that we're having in life. And then her research is showing how hard it is for people to just step into their joy.
You're right.
And that they feel like if they do that, they're going to jinx themselves.
Yes.
They can't fully enjoy the joy. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing where, you know, I feel that the darkness enhances the light. We've talked about this in the podcast before, but I'm wondering now, that do I always have to have the darkness to enjoy the light?
Right.
Because the problem is I'm not that advanced a creature, because I really want to jump into the dark. Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about, it's very familiar to us to jump into the dark. Mm-hmm. So even when I have joy, moments of joy, there's the dark is just kind of looming, and there's the voice in the back.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, it's a beautiful night with your son. How nice is this? And your mom. I was just visiting my mom, but I was like, well, she'll die soon.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Can you just for one moment, one, be in the moment.
Right.
And two,
right.
You don't even have to bring that in. We already know that story.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think it's a really good point for all of us to just start asking, how much of the darkness do we keep close to us? Mm-hmm. And is it serving us? Mm-hmm. And even for me, I'm like, well, but you have to ask questions of the dark to be enlightened about the light. Uh-huh. But sometimes I'm like, you know, fuck that.
Right.
I'm tired of always asking the dark.
Right.
Like, maybe I just need to ask the light. Uh-huh. Like, you tell me. Joy, you tell me.
Yeah.
You know, how I should feel now or where I'm at in my life.
Yeah.
That maybe should be a better measure or another measure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like this staying connected to this darkness also taps into our sense of unworthiness. Because sometimes for me, I'm like, I don't deserve this much happiness. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve this much joy. Like, have I earned it? I don't think I've earned like how good this moment feels.
Right.
And that's what she was saying. It's like joy isn't, it's like not something you can earn.
Right.
You know, it's not like I did a really good job and now I get joy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of easier to connect with those things where it's like, I've earned it. I worked hard for this. Now I get to enjoy it. But when joy is just this, and I've heard a lot of other spiritual leaders talk about joy as it's always this place within ourselves that we can access at any moment. Mm-hmm. It's always within us, but it's difficult for us to access that place sometimes, but it doesn't mean it's not there. It's always there. It's just we have trouble.
We have layers.
We have layers that cover it. And so for me, I have noticed that then I get into this cycle where I'm like, okay, like I want to feel all this joy and I know that it's there, but then the darkness creeps in. And yeah, I ask myself like, well, I don't know, all those things that we ask ourselves. And then it's like, well, see, I didn't deserve this. I didn't earn this. I'm not a good enough person to have this good of a life.
Right.
And then I start to prove it. And then I'm like, see,
good point.
Now, and then it kind of makes me grumpy. And then it's like, see, you're not even grateful for all of this. You're ruining this moment with your bad attitude anyways. And then it like kind of goes in this cycle.
That's that double shame cycle.
It's the double shame cycle. Yeah,
right.
But I've really tried to be aware of that lately. And when I feel myself getting like grumpy for no reason or whatever, like just trying to recognize and pull the little pieces out and say, okay, this is this, mm-hmm. and this is this, mm-hmm. and I can't remember exactly where I read it or heard it, but just there, it was just so powerful to me that feeling of joy is always within us. Mm-hmm. It's not something that leaves. It's just something that we have to continually reconnect with. It's always available to mm-hmm. us. And I loved that.
And it's so sad that we cover it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense when we cover it up when bad things happen, of course, because mm-hmm. those things cause grief and unhappiness and sadness. But even in the most joyful of moments, we cover them up. We cover it up sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the mm-hmm. sad, poignant part of like, oh, why are you covering it up right now?
Yeah.
Like just dive right into it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We were just talking about this the other day, the thought train, you know, how
yeah.
we have these negative thoughts or we have these judgmental thoughts of ourselves. Like, you don't deserve this.
Yes.
You're not worthy. That's yeah. that inner dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. We just did a whole fucking workshop about this, by the way, folks.
You are not your thoughts.
You are not your
ding,
thoughts.
Ding, ding, ding,
you're
ding,
not
ding.
The bus. We had a thought. We had a bus with thoughts in it and feelings in it. You're not the bus, you know, blah,
they
blah, blah.
They are not driving the bus. They are on the bus.
Yes, that's right. And suddenly, like when I had this listening to the Brené Brown call to courage, I thought, I have all these negative thoughts. They're kind of fear-based thoughts, like, you know, something bad will happen or you're not deserving of this. Mm-hmm. And I realized, and I read this other book, The Untethered Soul. Mm-hmm. And he's just said, you know, again, what we talked about, just think of your thoughts like a train. Just passing by. Mm-hmm. And it's just a train. You don't have to attach to them. And that has helped me in the last 2 days. Not a ton, but a teeny tiny bit. Because even when I start, I did feel jealousy today quite largely and blamed my husband for it. And not for anything he did. It was all
he
my stuff.
He held your hand while you cried, though.
He held my hand. Nice man. He's a very nice man. But can we just look at those thoughts of unworthiness or, you know, whatever they might be, fear of, you know, having something too good.
And why is that? Why are we afraid of having something too? I mean, it is a
and
protection.
There's research about it. Like, yeah. That's what she's talking about, is that it's not just us.
Yeah.
Like, people are having trouble feeling joy.
Yeah. Yeah. And can I move on?
Yes.
The
please.
The thing that she said that all the people who do access joy more easily.
The 5%.
The 5% who, 5%, you guys.
Yeah, 100%.
5% of us can access joy yeah. easily, or I don't remember her measure. But she said the one thing that they all have in common is gratitude.
Gratitude. That's gratitude. Right. Gratitude.
And so, it all ties together, you know, all this stuff ties together.
Yes.
And so I was thinking about, yeah, how cool that is. And Brené's so funny. She was like, you know, she was telling this story about she was watching her high school daughter get in her boyfriend's car on the way to prom. And of course she's like, what am I thinking of? And she's like, car crash. So she's like, okay, how do I access joy? Through gratitude. She's like, I'm so grateful to be a part of this process. I'm so grateful to be a part of this process.
And they're leaving. They're trying to drive off. And she's like,
I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful to be a part of this. And the son is like, what's wrong with mommy? And it's so funny because it's like, okay, she knows this. She's a researcher. She does. She knows that. She knows the facts about this, that people who can access joy have a great relationship with gratitude. And so it was just so funny to hear even her be
yeah,
like, I'm struggling with this. I see my kid getting in a car crash. I can't just be in this moment and feel the joy.
Right.
Like, of course, my mind is going to the worst thing.
The worst case scenario.
And I do that all the time. Like, I don't know. For those of you who have kids, it's really disturbing.
Oh,
actually.
I love how she said, how many of you, you know, look at your children,
yeah.
maybe while they're sleeping, and you're like, oh my gosh, I just love this kid. And then the next thought is, they could die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. I totally do that.
I do that too.
Or I was actually telling Lindy this yesterday.
And then I'm like, I will not survive.
Oh yeah.
And then I'm like very clear. Yeah. I'm like, I will not survive. And yeah. This will be the end of everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Yep. And this becomes hugely catastrophic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my middle child, Piper, she's not super affectionate. Like, she's affectionate on her own terms. But yesterday morning I was leaving for work and I had watched the Brene Brown, the night before, and I was leaving for work, and she's not, like I said, she's not super affectionate. But that morning I walked out the front door and she came out onto the front porch. She followed me out, but she wasn't like screaming like, mommy, like anything like that. But she was just so cute and we were talking and I was like, can I have a hug? And she gave me this huge hug and she like actually kissed me on the lips, which she always just gives me her cheek. And we just had this really long embrace. And rather than just enjoying that, I thought, this is probably the last time I'm ever going to see her because, like this the universe is gifting me like a really good last hug.
Yes.
You know, like I know, yes, there was this cosmic, like your daughter's going to die, but you're going to get like a really good goodbye with her. You know, that was the thought that went into my head.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I think practicing gratitude is a good thing to focus on and to work on always, no matter what. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Just I don't want to keep the darkness so close. I'm going to really work on this.
Yeah. And I think practicing gratitude and being aware of thoughts, like mm-hmm. not attaching to them. So even if that thought happened, you can be like, that's that thought again.
Yeah.
Versus because we get so – our little bodies just get hard. They get elevated.
But the interesting thing for me is then it becomes cyclical because the dark thoughts then – shoot me back into gratitude. And they're like, Kaylee, don't mess up this life. Be grateful for this little person or be grateful for this thing because it could be gone. So it's almost like the thought of it being gone is also then what puts me back into gratitude. So it's this weird, like constantly circling around each other thing of, you know, yeah, the dark thoughts make me feel grateful for the moment, but the moment makes me scared that it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. So then I go to the darkness to be like, I'm going to be prepared for you because I never, ever let you fully go, darkness. So when you actually come and rear your ugly head, like I'm ready for you because I've always been prepared for this moment.
Right. Right. Even though you can't be.
No, of course obviously, you can't be. You can't be prepared
for those terrible dark
But that's
moments.
What I do to tell myself.
Right.
That's that it's what not going to be too. So painful like when okay. it happens.
I know the end of this story. You know, I know what happens here. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, I know the end.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I better enjoy this moment really hard. And yeah, then,
and then
I
you put pressure.
Pressure on myself. Like
and your family and your friends.
Yes. We are having the best time. I'll take a bunch of pictures. And then even taking the pictures is taking me out of the moment.
It is.
Too, where I'm like, but mm-hmm. she talked about that, she how did. Her daughter had to do a, what it was called?
A picture memory.
A picture memory. And Brene talked about maybe we don't always want to do pictures because it's more important to have it in the memory.
Yes.
Because it's almost like I'm doing the picture, but then I'm out of the moment.
Yeah, you remove yourself.
From the moment to do the picture. But then I'm like, if I don't have the picture, I won't remember it.
Right. And I know it's so, it's like so cyclical. All this stuff is so cyclical. Another thing that is like, that I just want to explore is, okay. So, you know, there's that practice and we've actually done this practice this week at the office of what's the worst case scenario. Okay. So like what, so if you're fearful of a situation, okay, like let's imagine the absolute worst thing that could happen in that situation and watch it play out in your mind. And yeah. Usually it's not as terrible. As you know, you as when
you imagine.
As you imagine, but let's now play out the best case scenario.
Oh, I never do that.
Me neither.
I'm like the best case scenario.
I never do that.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Like, what is the best case scenario? You know, and can we? And then I think all of this also kind of ties into like visualization and manifestation and law of attraction, mm-hmm. you know, all of that stuff. So if we're visualizing and if we're shooting these, I don't know if you guys follow or know about or read, Abraham Hicks, but the way that, do you know who Abraham Hicks mm-hmm. is? Okay. Well, it's pretty wild. But, so basically there's this woman, her name's Esther, and she's basically a conduit for Abraham. is like consciousness, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And Abraham speaks through Esther. Mm-hmm. And I got really into Abraham Hicks when I was going through like that really shitty time in my life where I was constantly sick and blah, 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 and trying to figure out what was wrong with me. So anyways, what Abraham Hicks calls it is it's rockets of desire. So you've got to keep shooting these rockets of desire. And wow. I kind of see it like that. It's like, well, what do you want? What are you attracting? Is staying connected to the darkness, like keeping the darkness around? Like, are we attracting what we're getting what we're thinking about?
What we're spending a lot of energy.
Yeah, putting our energy
energetically spending our time on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
So what if we just stay connected to the light? You know, like, why does that feel so scary? But it's, you know, it's a concept they talk about a lot. And for anyone who's read or watched The Secret, it's the same exact concept.
Yeah. Stay connected to the
stay
light.
Stay connected to the light. Stay connected to your desires, ultimately to the light.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this is a really interesting thing for me to practice. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't agree with everything we've talked about before about,
The darkness.
I think there is a place for experiencing fullness and in all types of cycles that we pass through phases of darkness. Okay.
Yes,
like
we
don't live in eternal spring. We go through the seasons. We go night to day, winter to summer, all that. Yes, it happens, but I do need to disconnect from it when it's, you know, when it's
overwhelming and when it's dominant.
Yeah.
Like, especially one of the times is when your life is really good and you're in a joyful moment.
Yeah.
It's just enjoy it. You don't have to be here right now, darkness.
You don't have to ruin it.
You don't have to back away from the light just for a little bit.
And sometimes darkness for me doesn't have to be like my worst case scenario. Like if we're driving in the car and having a great time and my whole family's like singing songs and whatever, darkness doesn't have to be me envisioning all of us dying in a car accident.
No.
Darkness can also be me annoyed that my husband is going under the speed limit. You know, it can be me annoyed that my kid spilled a smoothie all over the backseat of the car. Those things also bring me out of the light, out of the joy, into the not so good feelings.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Kind of like those things are also the darkness that I need to let.
There's varying degrees.
They're ruining it.
Yes, they're ruining it. Then that's like, hey, you got to back off.
You got to just chill out.
Chill out. Quiet for a little bit. Your very strong voice. I totally get it. I am listening.
Right.
But I'm going to turn the volume down just for a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Because I want to
do my sing songs with my kids.
I want to feel the joy and I want to be present.
Uh-huh.
Because those thoughts take us out of the present too.
And I'm so grumpy because I feel like Rob is so good at this.
Well, some people are better at it.
He's really good at it. I mean, and I think it's because he's really, really, really grateful. Like sometimes he'll just like turn to me and he'll like
very, very grateful.
Hold me and he'll be like, we are just so lucky. He's like, I just love you so much. You know, I feel so lucky to be your partner. And sometimes I'm like, ugh, like what? Like, but don't you see how messy our house is? Or don't you see like, you know, these other things? But shut up, Haley.
Shut up. Yeah, of course he does. Yeah, he can hear it from you.
You know, and sometimes because he is my partner, then I get grumpy at him. I'm like, oh, look at you being so grateful.
So easy for you.
So easy for you.
That way. But now we know from Brené. Thank you, Brené.
You're just part of the 5%. All right. So don't get excited.
That's right.
You're just lucky.
I'm trying to learn it. Okay.
I, it's just kind of funny timing and I like when things are cosmic. So I'm going to share this. But Marla shared in the community page just this morning, a quote by Abraham Hicks. And so this is just kind of the philosophy, I guess, of Abraham Hicks. If this is interesting to you in any way, I say look them up. Like they have amazing, amazing, amazing stuff that really helped me in some of my darker times. So They say, you don't have to worry about what their vibration is if your vibration is one of connection. Because if your vibration is one of connection, you're going to dominate the vibration. This is the way you learn your relationships. The thing that most people do not understand is that you get to control the way that you feel because you get to choose the thoughts you think. Most people think that they only have the option of responding to the circumstances that surround them. And that's what makes them attempt the impossible, which is to control the circumstances around them, which only feeds their feelings of frustration and vulnerability, because it doesn't take very much life experience to discover you can't control all of those circumstances, but you can control your vibration. And when you control your vibration, you've controlled everything that has anything to do with you.
That is very good.
Isn't that so good?
That is very good.
You get to control that. You get to control everything that has anything to do with you. And I'm going to go back to something that we talked about in a previous podcast about Katie Byron. The work.
The work.
She says, stay in your business. Like literally that has been my mantra since I heard it. Stay in your own business.
I totally Anytime agree with that.
I'm in anybody else's business, it That's causes when I suffering. Get
into trouble. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
I mean, that just brings me back to the Brené Brown talk, because what we're talking about is those negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. Stay in your business.
Yep.
Work on the vibration of connection. She talked about this other thing that we've run into in Ula is, don't grab the hurtful stuff. So
yeah,
I love that. Don't grab the hurtful stuff. So sometimes we get critique, or we get feedback, or we get, even in your life personally, people might say hurtful stuff to mm-hmm. you. And for me, I tend to grab it because I'm like, well, what can we learn from it?
Right.
What is it that they're saying? What is it that didn't work? Or what is it that this is? And she's just like, hey, don't grab the hurtful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it down. She says, step over it and keep going.
And I loved that she says, from the cheap seats.
From the cheap seats.
That was like my favorite part. I'm like, yeah, those are the cheap seats. And it's
because
true.
Because she talks about the quote of daring greatly, mm-hmm. that you, in order to be a leader or to do stuff in your life, even not to be a leader, just to do stuff in your life, probably that you're not used to doing, you have to take risks.
Yes.
But sometimes you get these critics who aren't even doing that.
No, they're just in the cheap seats. They're not even trying.
Just like blah, 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 blah. It's like watching football and saying, I do this, or I watch basketball. And I'm like, well, he should have shot that better.
Yeah.
And then my 12-year-old's like, well, you're not a very good shot, Mom. And I'm like, oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm an expert, suddenly I'm the expert critic on basketball. And right. It's like, you're not. You don't know what it's like to play in a professional game with all that pressure.
Right.
And I'm like, that's right. And the same thing for us is that don't grab the hurtful stuff. And she said, don't pull it into your heart.
Yeah, I loved that. Yeah, I loved how she did that. Don't pull it into your heart. And she also said, you have to be willing to fail.
You have to be willing to fail.
And you know what? People in the cheap seats are going to point out your failures.
Oh.
They're going to love it. They're going to feed off of it. And they're going to point it out to you. But they are in the cheap seats, and it takes a lot of bravery, I think, to then get back up and to not listen to those voices and to this. I mean, failure is vulnerable. It's so incredibly vulnerable.
Yes.
But that's the way that we can continue to evolve and to grow and to do these difficult things. But it does require, it requires just tuning out or turning off those negative voices.
Not, I love the visualization. Don't grab them.
Don't bring them into your heart physically. Yeah, she showed it physically, which I love. She's like, don't bring it into
pulling
your heart.
Pulling it into your heart.
Step over them.
And no matter what you do in your life, there are going to be critics. There are going to be people that disagree with what you're doing
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, even in Ula, there are going to be people that disagree with what we do or the path that we take. And that's fine. But we don't have to be like, well, I guess I can survive that. Or, we don't have to mm-hmm. pull that in.
Well, and for me, I am a really sensitive person, and so I have to be really careful about not doing that. And then not only not only do I need to work on not bringing it in, but I need to work on not letting it make me grumpy.
Yes.
Because then when I get grumpy.
I agree with that.
Shut up.
Kaylee, thank you.
But then when I get grumpy, it affects
the leadership team.
But yes, it does. But it also affects my
family.
My family.
Oh, I'm always guessing that people.
Yeah, you are. But luckily you got that one.
Good. I'm like, no.
But then it affects me in my roles, in all my other roles, because I've brought it into my heart. It's affected the way that I feel. And then the way that I feel and the energy and the vibration that I am holding.
Emanating
then. Is then going to affect when I go pick up my kid. Or if my kid does something that is slightly irritating, I'm going to have a grumpiness already to me. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to get a bigger reaction than is necessary. Mm-hmm. So I really have to just, yeah, this is my work now. This is like, I liked this because it really kind of put me in a new direction for my work. Like I've got to just stay in the light.
You've got to stay. Yeah. We all have to stay in the light as best we can and be aware and conscious of when you're, I've really pulled this into my heart.
Right.
Or I'm really focusing on the negative. And that is not helpful right now.
Right.
Even though I'm like, well, you gotta go through the fire to really be, enlightened or whatever, to really know how to do this work really well.
Right.
It's like, but this is not helping you now because it's stopping you from being vulnerable.
Right.
And it's stopping you from being daring.
Exactly.
It's just holding you.
Yes.
And it's like, no, I got it.
Or it pushes me, but it pushes me for the wrong reasons.
Yes. Good
it
point.
It pushes me forward, but from like a grumpy place.
Yeah. A grumpy place.
Or like, I'm going to prove to them. They don't believe that I can do it, or they don't, or they, I've gotten a comment where somebody, has said something negative about my work or whatever. So I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it as like to prove to them. But that's a terrible reason to do anything.
To prove
something.
Because
to
eventually
anyone else.
It's always an empty feeling too. Because it's not like people don't acknowledge like, that was very good.
Yeah.
I didn't like it at first, but now I acknowledge that. Maybe that's very rare.
That's very rare.
So it's like, rare. So it's not rewarding even when you do it that way.
I think sometimes also when I see people who are always in the light, like, and this is, I don't know, maybe I haven't really fully thought about this, but sometimes I'm like, it almost seems like they're naive.
Yes. Sometimes I'm like, uh-oh.
I know. I'm like, uh-oh, you're going to get
sometimes
screwed.
I'm like, I feel like I should say something.
I know. But I don't think so. Maybe they're just choosing. Like, again, I'm going to go back to Rob. Like, he oftentimes stays in the light and I'm his partner, obviously. So he'll complain to me about like work situations or interactions or whatever, which we all do to our close relationships. But then I get so fired up. I'm like, well, did you tell him this, or you should have asked for this? Or do they know that they like effed that up because, the waiting list had 12 people, but 6 didn't show up. So you could have gotten those 6 from the waiting list. And he's like, no, I didn't. And I'm like, but you should have, justice
too.
Is really important to me too. But I think he just needs to, get it off his chest, tell me, but he doesn't want to stay stuck in it.
And I'm like, well, don't you want to fix it?
I know. Yeah. You want to fix it?
I think you could fix it. I was yelling at Mike the other day. I'm like, well, these are the things you should say to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is what you owe it to him if you want him to grow in this way, in this manner.
Yeah.
Is what you're talking about. And then suddenly I lost him again, as the thinker, he's just like looking out the window and I'm like, he's not listening to a single word I said. But that part is not upsetting to him, that it's not fixed.
Right.
That's quotes
Same with Rob.
Around that. They're more in the moment of like, that didn't work or whatever. And now we go to the next moment, whatever.
Yeah. And I feel like both Rob and Mike are okay with having things unfinished.
Yes, they are very okay with that.
Very okay. And for me, I want
to
just
a fault. No.
I agree with that. However, they, for me and for you, we like to get things done in a neat, tidy little box and ship it off and be like, done. I'm done with that.
I checked the box.
And you know what? We just got ourselves into trouble in a recent work situation because sometimes we're like, just like, check the box off. And sometimes that doesn't always sit well with people. I'm like, it's just, this is how I am. It has literally nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It's just my desire to just be like, okay.
And now we're
finishing
done.
Things up.
And then we're
going
to move to the next project.
This worked. This didn't work. Whatever. Like moving on. It's not personal. It's my insecurity, but my issue with having things like weighing on my mind.
And being tidy.
I like things tidy.
Tidy.
Yeah.
Where
but you, they are, they're fine with
Rob, you know, and, Rob Mike and Mike are just kind
of
tidy,
as you can see, parts of our homes.
Oh my goodness.
You know, yeah. but their minds are like that. Rob's computer is like, you know, everything is just, it's just open.
It's always in process.
It's too. Always in process.
Always in process. It's mm-hmm. not a closed door yeah. or it's not like process is done and now we do the cooking or now it's yeah. like, no, this
the
is
cleaning
still,
is done and now we cook.
It's all integrated into each other.
Yeah, it
too.
Is.
It's like, here's the computer. Mike had all his stuff on the counter last night of where we eat. And I was like, I don't know if you could. And I'd already asked like five freaking times. I'm trying to put the stuff on the table. And he was like, whoa. And he just kind of piled it up and then put it to the side. And I was like,
how dare he
not? First of all, it's not organized in any way. I'm like, it looked like there might be a check in there. Or and it's just like, are you going to lose that? But that's okay. This is a different way of being in the world. And they are more joyful.
They're more joyful.
They're more
they
joyful.
Actually are more joyful
they're
than
like,
we
kids,
are.
Kids, we're going to go do this now.
I'm like, but what about that?
I'm like, the dishes aren't done.
I know. They are. They're more joyful. So it makes me really like grumpy to say this, but I have so much to learn from Rob.
Yeah, I do from Mike too, obviously. It's hard for me to admit that.
It's really hard.
No. I know. I'm all like, my mouth kind of tightens up.
It
like,
did.
I do too. But I do. I have a lot to learn from him.
Oh, man.
But I do want to go back to that. I know. I'm having a hard time with it.
Me too.
But we have, in order, like, we don't pull the negative stuff in. And the reason why is if you're not, we have to be willing to fail.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to make mistakes for sure. But if you're not willing to fail, you can't create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's really true. So if you're getting tons of feedback, you know, about like, well, this didn't work or that didn't work. Mm-hmm. I was starting to feel that the other week. And then I'm like, well, I guess we can't do that. And maybe I can't move that way. And maybe this wouldn't look good. And maybe that song isn't good. I'm just second guessing everything.
Sure.
That it's like, this is not helping.
No.
Creation here.
Right.
It's like, I don't freaking care.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. Right. Some people don't like it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But we need to be not be afraid of failing.
Right.
Because great things come out of failure.
They do.
Like, oh, that didn't work, but this did.
Right.
But if we hadn't done it, we wouldn't have known.
Mm-hmm. And I think then just not letting the past failures scare you into your future abilities.
Yes.
You know, well, I failed
and
at that.
And your future
so
endeavors.
I guess,
like, I want to expand this way then. Let's yeah. go this way.
But remember that time you failed?
Oh, that's
You're
right.
probably not good enough to do it.
That's right. We probably shouldn't do it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, it's good stuff to think about.
Really
But
good
again,
stuff.
I'm going to refer to that as darkness. Like darkness isn't just death. Darkness is
no.
these, darkness can be a fear of failure. Darkness can be caring too much about what other people think about you. Darkness can be anything that doesn't feel good. Anything that doesn't feel like it's bringing you into the light.
Obsession with tidiness.
Obsession with tidiness that, is an absolute darkness for me.
That's a darkness for me too. It's like, that is not, you know, that's not making me happy all the time.
Right. It doesn't make me happy. You're right.
It does not make me happy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that doesn't mean I can't be tidy, but be aware.
One more thing that I tell Rob, sorry to talk so much about the tidiness, but I think, you know, I don't think it's necessarily all an issue of like control. I get that some of it is control, but I also think that from an energetic standpoint, there is some major like feng shui stuff to this. I, you know, talking about energy and doing energy work and energy cleanses, clutter is incredibly stagnant for energy. And so for me, I talked to Rob in those terms. I'm like, you don't understand, but when all of this stuff is piled up or when there's clutter and junk everywhere, that's how it makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's just tidiness because we have to be in control and things have to be in their
no.
place. I think that there is an energetic component to this. So Rob also recognizes that, and that's why he is putting effort into this.
Yes.
So it's not just, I think, just a dark thing that we need things in their spot, but there is an energetic component that
yes.
has to be considered.
And I think for me, it's the obsession with it sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel almost OCD about it.
Yeah, I do
where
too.
It's just like, hey, you can just
Relax.
Bring that up, be in a nice way.
Yeah.
5 times or 10 times, but it doesn't have to be like it's the end of the world.
Yes.
So I don't want to have so much energy invested in it, or I want to be aware of it when I'm doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. We had some people come over for a little barbecue last night and I was like cleaning up, and then, you know, like Rob comes up and he like hugged me from behind and like said something like cute and like flirty, and I didn't even engage with him because I was like, did you clean up the da 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 yet? You know? And it was just a moment where it's like, so dumb. Why wouldn't I just stop and enjoy like that moment?
Yes.
With my partner.
That embrace. That deep breath.
But I had to be like, in my mind, I was like, we don't have time to be doing this.
We have 20 minutes.
Exactly. I'm like, go.
Yeah.
Go clean up the patio.
That's, you know,
like that is my darkness.
That's my darkness. Energetic. Yes.
It's an energetic drawing away from the joy.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to work on it.
And that's what she done. That's what Brene
talks about.
But I
think a lot of us do. You know, for you and me, it just happens to be like a tidiness thing.
Yeah. I don't know. For other folks, I'm sure it's a lot of other things that keep us away from the joy.
Yeah. So whatever you're feeling is, and whatever you think it is to protect you or to, you know, keep things in control, or which then is going to make us feel safe. Like whatever those things are that you notice keep you away from just being in the moment, in the joy, in the gratitude. Like, let's all try this.
Let's try it and be aware of our thoughts. The thought train.
The thought train.
There it goes. Just Bye. Going by. Just traveling by. Keep on coming, but I don't have to jump on that train.
No, I don't.
I don't have to jump on that train.
I'm not going to take that train today.
Do you hear me, Rhett?
Sorry, Brene couldn't join us today, you guys, but maybe next week.
We'll maybe keep next trying. Week we're going to keep calling her. Poor Oprah. We have some leads with her.
I've listened to her podcast. That's my lead.
That's a very good lead.
Don't you think?
Yes.
All right. Love you guys.
Love
Stay
you guys.
In the light.
All right. Bye.